Chapter 3, and I want to just talk to you about a very familiar passage here, something that everybody knows, but in praying about the service tonight, the Lord just kept bringing me back to this I am. You just tell him, I am, and I kind of balked at it a little bit to start with, because over the last 16 years, I think I've probably told you this many, many, many times, but evidently the Lord wants us to hear it again. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, if you'll stand with me, please, as we honor the reading of God's word. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Just those two words tonight, I am. Let's pray. Father, help us in the word of God tonight. Speak to our hearts. Those of us that are gathered in this building and those who are joining us online, speak to us, God, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, by the time you get to chapter 3 in the book of Exodus, Moses has been given an awesome task. God has called this man, Moses, to go back to Egypt, to stand before Pharaoh, and to issue the decree of God, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He is to deliver his brethren, the children of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage. Now, that is a potentially frightening thing. I think we'd all agree with that, but I would say to you something a little stronger than that. It's basically impossible. This one man, you know, he had a brother that's going to backslide on him. Seemed like every 30 minutes, this is all he had, a brother that's going to backslide, and at least a mule or a donkey and a staff. You know, one man said that God used him to do all this with the staff and a one-line sermon. Let my people go. It was impossible that this should be, and yet here's God telling this man, I want you to do this. I'm commanding you to do this. Obey me. Amen. Certainly God's going to be with him, but to go into it is absolutely and utterly impossible. And so naturally, Moses had some serious questions about all of this, and they were sincere questions. He wasn't making this up. This wasn't some kind of a just hesitancy for hesitancy's sake. He really had concerns, as you would, and certainly as I would also. The children of Israel, they've been in Egypt for centuries by now. You know, they've been in Egypt a long time, centuries. Not only have they been there, but for centuries now, they've been in servitude. They started out, as you know, and went with Jacob into the land of Egypt, really at the request of Pharaoh in the days of Joseph, and they have remained there for centuries now. But as they started to multiply and gain ascendancy, the Pharaohs, there arose a Pharaoh, the Bible said, that knew not Joseph, and he looked on the children of Israel and said, they're going to multiply against us. They're going to supplant us. They're going to take over. And so we got to deal with them while we can. And the way they set about to do that was to enslave them. And there they were for centuries, enslaved in Egyptian bondage. This is where they've been. They've been in bondage. They are immersed in the religion of Egypt. You know, if you ask them about God, maybe some of them knew the God of their fathers. At least they heard about him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I hope that there was at least a remnant of people in Israel, the children of Israel, who knew of the one true and living God. But I can guarantee you they all knew about Isis and Osiris and Ra, the sun god, and the Egyptian Apis bull that they worshiped. They knew about all of these false false deities. And so here they are. Well, who is this God that sent you to us, Moses? We know about all of the pantheon of gods that the Egyptians worship, and now here's one more. Well, who is this one more? You know, this could have been their question to Moses, and I believe this is what he was anticipating. Okay, who shall I tell them has sent me? Because they are absolutely awash in gods. They have no shortage of gods, and yet instilled they are in servitude. They're in bondage. So what can I do? What can I tell them? This was the question. Amen. Moses is going to tell them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you to deliver you from Egypt. And their question is going to be, well, what is this God's name? He's the God of your fathers. That's great, Moses. Who is he? Who is he? In the minds of many of them, Almighty God would be just like one of the Egyptians' many gods. So who is this one? What is his name? And God said to Moses, you tell them, I am. Hallelujah. Before he ever got to, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, before and the Lord said, Jehovah, as you read it in the text in the next verse, before he ever got to that, to tell them specifically his name, he said, the first thing they need to know is that I am, and that's more than a name, as we'll see. What is his name? I am that I am, hath sent me to you, Moses would tell them. This is what somebody tonight needs a reminder of, that he is I am, but it's more than that. He is your I am. Hallelujah. He is I am to your life, not just to the ancient people of God, the children of Israel, but to you and to me, where we are in our wilderness, where we are in our momentary bondage or oppression. He is our I am. The word is the same. The God is the same. His power is the same. The miraculous ability of this God is still the same. Hallelujah. There are a lot of names in your Bible, and you know this, by which God has revealed himself. When you start in Genesis and go through to Revelation, you find over and over God says, this is who I am. Or there are people like Abraham and others who build an altar in a place where God met them, and they say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. God inspires them and uses them to reveal a name of the Lord, like Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, or Jehovah Nissi, another one of those, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Rapha, we know that one, the Lord our healer. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said in 15 and 26 of Exodus, what's it mean? Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The list goes on. There's one name after another of this great God. And I'm glad it's that way, because this is the beautiful part of all of those names. Each one of them is revealed in Scripture to meet a specific need of God's people. He doesn't need righteousness. He is that. He doesn't need healing. He's not sick. He doesn't need peace. He's not troubled. But I need those things. And he said, I want you to know that I am your peace, and that I am your healer, and that I am your righteousness. He doesn't need to be made right. He is right. It's me, sir. It's I that needs, or who needs, the righteousness of God. And he said, that's who I am for you. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It meets a need of humanity. This is the business God is in, sir, being glorified by his creation and meeting the needs of his people. Amen. So when he says here, I am, for the lack of a better way to say it, it's like a blank check that's given to the sincere people of his. who want to honor him and glorify him and fulfill his will. He hands that man or that woman kind of a blank check, as Simpson would have said it. And he says to them, here it is, I am. That's what I'm providing. You fill it in. What is it that you need today? I am strength. If that's what you need, God said, that's what I am. He came to A.B. Simpson, I think in a vision, if I remember right, but he came to him somehow in a revelation, and he said to him, Simpson, I want you to understand, I am giving you the opportunity to write a check, to draw funds on the greatest bank in the universe, my kingdom, amen, my power, my resources, my ability. He said, I want you to write that check for as much as you need, and don't be bashful about it. Write it for as much as you need, but don't write it for any more than you need, because tomorrow I want you back at this bank again. Hallelujah. I want you to come back every day and write the check. Oh God, today I need strength. He said, I will furnish it. I will honor the check with my word, with my promise. Amen. Tomorrow, God, I'm having trouble loving somebody. I'm having trouble forgiving. I am the righteousness of God. I am the love of God. He fulfills that. Oh Lord, I need wisdom. Well, you're in good shape, because Paul said God has made him, Jesus, to be wisdom and righteousness, redemption, sanctification unto us. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that I am has signed the check for his people, and he enlists us to fill it in, not to be arrogant, not to use the kingdom of God or to seek his glory for ourselves, but whatever is required for you to do the will of God, write the check. I said, whatever is required for you to fulfill the will of God, he will supply whatever that is. Hallelujah. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing upright tonight if I didn't believe that. Whatever is required for you and me to fulfill the will of God, I am is there to supply that. What does he need out of me? He needs my willingness. And need there even is a strong word. He desires my willingness for me to come to him and empty myself so that he can fill that place that I have emptied by the grace of God. Amen. What is it that you need tonight to be able to do the will of God perfectly? What is it that you need? Is it less of you? Is it more of him? Is it strength from heaven? Is it the peace of God? What is it that you need tonight that would enable you to be able to please God? Pastor, I don't want to worry, but I'm a worrier. What is it that you need? Is it the peace of God? Write the check for the peace of God. Amen. Go to him in prayer. Draw on the bank of heaven and believe that God has the funds spiritually to meet every need. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not coming to the bank of heaven and looking to see what we've got in there. No, Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need. Hallelujah. All of it, sir, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's his riches, not mine. It's his ability, not mine. It's his power, not mine. The old Pentecostal church used to sing it, shout it, preach it, and tell it, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I still believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I want to ask you something about this I am. Where was this truth revealed, folks? Wasn't on Main Street. It was in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Some of you tonight, you ain't on Main Street. You have been, but you ain't there now. You're in the middle of the desert. You're in the wilderness. But that's where God comes to you and says to you, hey, I want you to realize who I am. I want you to know I am who I am. In the wilderness, this is where we face the trials. This is where we trust God in the dark. I wish somebody would say amen. This is where we believe God when we don't have all the facts, quote unquote. This is where we trust God while we're waiting to see how all this is going to fall out, how it's all going to unravel. This is where we trust the plan of God because we don't have one ourselves. This is where we believe in the grace of God because we don't feel like we have a lot of grace ourselves at this moment, amen. This is where we are confronted with sorrow in the wilderness. The wilderness is where we truly live out what we believe. But oh, it's in the wilderness where God meets us and gives us something to believe. It's there that we live out all of this that we say, but it's also there that God gives us something to say and something to hold on to and to believe. Hallelujah. We come out of the wilderness singing, I'm anchored in Jesus. I'm anchored in Jesus. I have something that is restraining me in a good way. I have something that is constraining me in a good way. I have something that is hindering me from the wrong and setting me free to do the right. Ah, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In the wilderness is where Moses was shown the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace. It's their saving grace. I believe you've got that. I hope you have. But brother, there's keeping grace. There's forgiving grace. There's keeping your mouth shut grace. I need a lot of that. Amen. But there is some. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's the grace that just lets it go. Oh, I found you. Hallelujah. Amen. You were with me till there. Then you got off the wagon. I said, there is grace to just let it go. Just let what somebody said go. You don't have to straighten it out. Just let it go. Go on with God. God knows the truth. And as long as God knows the truth, then everything's fine. Amen. As long as he knows what's right, then everything's going to be all right. The wilderness, that's where we see the manifold grace of God, the I am of God's grace. Because you never see grace until you see it in connection with your weakness. Oh, yes, sir. You never appreciate the grace of God until you come to the place where you're so weak that you don't know how you're going to handle it. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know what your next footstep ought to be. But it's there that you see the grace of God. You never experience the fullness of God until you see your own necessity or your own need. When you get empty, you'll appreciate that he's full. When you get hungry, you'll appreciate that he's the bread. When you feel lost, you'll appreciate that he is still the lighthouse on that shore that's shining out the light to guide the sailors home. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When you've been betrayed, sir, that's when you'll appreciate that God will wrap you up in arms of love. When life didn't turn out like you thought it would and it didn't pan out like you figured, that's when you'll appreciate that God has it all in his hand and that he's still the God of his purpose. Who is this God? He is I am. Well, then I don't have to be afraid of this wilderness. Amen. In the great I am is a height, a depth, a breadth that goes beyond the borders of any need I have. And where did God put this name? In connection with what? Where did he give it? In the wilderness. With whom did he connect it? His people. I am that I am. Praise God. His people. This is not a name for Pharaoh. This is not a name for the world. It's not a name for those who refuse to be in covenant with God. It's a name for his covenant people. See, to Pharaoh, God was the Lord God of the Hebrews. Amen. Now, he looks at this country that you and I are part of today, and he can say, I'm the God of your founding. I'm the God of the Bible. I'm the God that you referenced in your founding documents. He could say all of that, but I just believe in my spirit tonight that he's saying, I'm the God of my church. I'm the God of my people. You want to know who I am? God bless America. Which God? The God of my church. Amen. The God of those who have been faithful. The God of those who still believe this. The God of those who won't sell their soul for a dollar. The God of those who'll stand, amen, content with the grace of God and not require anything more. To God's people, he is I am. And that's not simply who he is. It's who he is for you, and it's who he is for me. And looking back, sir, on over three decades of knowing him, I can tell you he is who he is, and he's always been who he is, and he'll always be who he is tomorrow. He does not change. Hallelujah. The God that carried Paul is the God that has walked with me. The God that was there for Abraham is the God who's been here for me. The voice that spoke to our fathers and told them where to step and where to plant churches and where to obey God and what to do is the God who's been with me, sir, for all of these years of my life. Oh, I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about the mercy of God. I'm talking about the goodness of God, that he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. This is one of the ways that the Apostle John shows us Jesus in his account of the gospel and in the revelation. You've read the book of John. We've been through it. The I ams. You know, Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and he's trying to convince them Jesus is the King of the Jews. And so you see that as you read his account. Mark had a different purpose in mind. You know, Mark is showing Jesus. He got his information from Simon Peter. And he's showing Jesus as the servant, that he's God's servant, that God spoke so much about in Isaiah. This is who he is. Mark said, I want you to know this is who he is. Luke is a physician. He's a doctor. He's showing this Jesus was a man. Praise God. He's the King of the Jews. He's the servant of God. Luke says, I want you to understand, he's 100% man. But then John comes along, he says, all that's true, but you got to know that he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so John takes you through his entire account of the gospel to show you that Jesus is I am. The very same as we talk about tonight, I am the bread of life, he said in the gospel according to John. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the Alpha and Omega. Revelation, I am the bright and morning star. I am he that liveth and was dead. And the list goes on and on and on. But the point of all of this, there is no corner of this wilderness where the grace of I am is hindered. There is nowhere I'm going to go where I am will not be I am for me there. The wilderness does not burn him. It does not starve him. It does not parch him. It does not freeze him. It does not cause him to lose direction or distress him. He is I am everywhere he is. See, I'm just telling you, Egypt is not my source. Egypt is not my source. The wilderness itself, the place I'm in at the moment, the place you're in at the moment, is not my source. This can't feed me. It can't do it. Not this new man. It cannot feed this new man. I am is my source. It hasn't changed. This world don't offer nothing to me. No, sir. I said it don't offer nothing to you. It really doesn't. I am is my source. And Moses asked God for his name. Whom shall I tell the children of Israel has sent me? And God's answer is powerful. We know what he said. I am that I am. But it goes even deeper than what we've talked about so far. In essence, God was saying to Moses, before you and the children of Israel concern yourselves too much with my name, or before you worry about who I am among the many gods of the Egyptians and other pagan peoples, let me tell you this. I am who I am. That means I absolutely am. Hallelujah. I am absolutely. In other words, I can tell you my name, but you got to recognize my being. The name of the one true and living God is different, but his being is spectacularly different. He is the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but his being depends upon nobody. Nobody. Tell the children of Israel, the one who absolutely is has sent me to you. See, I'm just telling you tonight, there is something absolute, and it's this God. There may be a lot of things up in the air, but there is something absolute, and it is this God. There are a lot of God's people doing their best to fulfill the will of God and to walk with God, but they're trusting in the dark at the moment. Moses and the children of Israel were there looking in the unknown, but God said, I absolutely am. I am absolute and I absolutely am. He says, I am who I am, absolutely. What does that mean to us? It means God never had a beginning. He never started. He always was. Amen. Nobody made God. Well, what about all of the trouble people are making? Let me tell you something. Above all the strife, above all the trouble is the absoluteness of our God. This will not change. Well, my body changes. Sickness comes and goes. It may do it, but this absolute God will not change. This is the absolute we're talking about. He looks to nobody as his source. God is and always has been. Nobody created God. Nobody made God. Do you understand that, Pastor? Not really, but I believe it. I know this God. I know this is right. I know this is true. Everything that I know about got here somehow. Everybody I ever met was born, right? Everything that I've ever had was made. It had an originator, had something behind it, had a source, but God has always been. What does that mean to us? It means he's independent of every change in my life. Hallelujah. A lot of things may change, but he stands absolute. When I leave here, when they put me, if Jesus tarries is coming, in a hole in the ground, he'll still be absolute. Hallelujah. What does it mean for me? It means God's never going to end. He never did begin. And if he didn't begin, he's never going to end. No beginning, no ending. He is being. This is what it means. What is he doing? He's being. What was he doing yesterday? He was being. What's he going to do tomorrow? He's going to be. Hallelujah. And everything else will take its cue from him. He is being. He is what is. Praise God. He is what is. My dad, if he wanted us to do something, was very serious about it. Anytime he told us to do something, he was very serious about it. But he'd say, you do this because I am the one what is. That's what he'd say. Well, you know, he had evidenced that before, that he was. He had made his presence known. So we understood that he was. If he said do it, then he wanted it done. And there never was a whole lot, that, you know, he never was set on repeat. He just never was. People say, well, that's mean. Well, folks today might think so, but I know better. I appreciate it now, especially now that I have children of my own, I appreciate it. He wasn't set on repeat. You know, you did, he told you to do something, you better do it. There were consequences if you didn't do it, and you didn't like the consequences. A whole lot easier just to do what you didn't want to do before you were given what you didn't want to have. You see, God never had a beginning. Nobody made God. God's never going to have an ending. Nothing. Why? He is the one who is. You cannot say of God, well, he was, or he will be. All of those things are true, but they don't fully encompass who he is. He is ever in a state of being. With God, it's ever present, it's always now, ever in a state of being. That's why we get thrown in the ditch when God doesn't work as fast as what we think he should. But with God, what is it that Peter quoted? With God, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Well, a day for you and me may feel like 1,000 years if we happen to wait on something or having to wait on it. But God said, hey, it's still today for me because I am being, hallelujah. Oh, he doesn't need the time brackets. You understand? What I'm saying, when the writer of Hebrews said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, God doesn't need that because he's always here. No matter what day it is, yesterday, tomorrow, don't matter, he's here. Amen. The time has no bearing on him whatsoever. The dimensions of time, they do not faze God. So why did he say it? Because he knew I'm going to judge everything by the past, by today, and by tomorrow. That's how I'm going to measure all this. I bracket my life by that. And so he said, I want you to understand, I'm going to come down here and talk to you the way that you measure this. And I'm going to tell you, yesterday I was with you. Today I am with you. And tomorrow I'll be with you. And I'm not going to change who I am. There was no beginning. There was no ending. He is being, sir. He is what is. And nothing will affect his continual being. He's not going anywhere. I love the 139th Psalm. David said, whither shall I go from your spirit? God, where am I going to get away from you? He wasn't saying that because he wanted to. It was just a statement of fact. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Man of God that was preaching revival in the little Methodist church when my mama got saved, didn't want to serve God when he was young. He didn't want to. He wanted to, but he didn't want to preach. He wanted to serve God without obeying God. And how many of you know you really can't do that? He's going to serve God, but when it came to preaching, I can't do that. So he ran. He left home, and God found him. God said to him, when are you going to preach? He left there and went somewhere else, and God found him. When are you going to preach? He made up his mind. He said, there's one place I believe I can go, and God will leave me alone. He said, it's the service. He joined the service. And he's overseas in some bar. Had a day or two, you know. He's in some bar sitting on a stool. And he's there. He's got a drink in his hand. And he said, it was like the Lord came in, stood behind my shoulder and said, when are you going to preach? He said, I found out. He knows where you are. He'll find you where you are. And where you are ain't always where you ought to be, but he'll find you there. He said, I came home. I repented before I got home, but I came home and became a preacher of the gospel and gave my life to the Lord because if he loved me enough, oh yes, if he loved me enough to go clear across the world, not just die for me, He died for everybody. He said, I'm talking about me. If he loved me enough to go clear across the world, walk into that place where I was, come up behind me and go looking for me. He said, how could I not do what he wanted me to do? How could I not serve him? How could I not love him? I'm just saying to you, this is God that'll never end. He didn't start. He's not going to end. For him to be I am, that's what it means. It means that his absolute being, it means that God is absolute reality. There is no reality before him, and there is no reality other than him unless he allows it. And this is the reality, not just what we can see and feel, but he who is absolute. Oh, there are people that get so bogged down with what they can see, and they're missing the reality that behind all of this, there is a God whose hand is at work, whose infinite mind is thinking thoughts that are so far above yours and mine, they cannot even be compared. Amen. There's an unseen hand that's guiding us, an all-seeing eye that is upon us. I'm talking about the reality of God. The reality of God. Our fathers knew God was real. Amen. We know God is real. We have experienced his power. His word has spoken to us. Other people look at it as a text or something that is only of historical value, but we read it and God talks to us in it. Amen. I'm up here preaching tonight that God is I am because he told me. Get up there and tell him that. Hallelujah. He's real is what I'm telling you. Amen. You may hear his voice in a song or hear it just in prayer. You may hear his voice. Somebody else may say something to you and you realize it wasn't just them. It was a word from the Lord, and it encouraged you and lifted you up. Oh, hallelujah. We know that God is real because something stirs within us when we realize there are people praying for us, and it matters, and they're lifting us up before God in prayer. We know that God is real because he saved us and sanctifies us and filled us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he's healed our bodies. And he's kept us sane in a world that's gone hog wild and pig crazy. We know that God is real because his infinite mercy has forgiven us over and over and over again. This is the reality. This is what's real. Hallelujah. We've had, 46 or so presidents. I forget how many now. We've had so many. Some of them I like to leave out, but we've had them. Our country, over 2 centuries old. Places like Great Britain, hundreds of years old. But it is nothing compared to the reality of our God. Empires rise and fall, and God marches on. One man who was wise lived long ago. He said, you know, the Bible has outlived all its pallbearers. There have been a lot of people that thought they'd bury the word of God, Karl Marx among them. But they have died, and the Bible has helped to shove them in the hole. Amen. Because it has stood strong, sir. The word of God will not return to him void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. We know that he is real. Hallelujah. Because we have an experience with God. He's real to me. He's real to me. Glory to God. I sit at the house sometime rocking that baby, trying to get him to go to sleep. And I'm saying to him, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed me and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I don't need anybody to tell me. I know He's real. I know He's real. I know He's more real than all of this stuff that trips everybody up. He's more real than the drama that surrounds us. He's more real than the people that mistreat us or betray us or do all manner of things that people do. He is more real than all of that. And that's what it means for Him to say to me, I am. I am. It means He's totally independent. He depends on nothing to make Him what He is. He needs nothing to be who He is. The conditions of my problem do not have to change for Him to be I am. It don't have to get better before God is who He is. Hallelujah. It may have to get better before I feel better, but it don't have to get better before He is God, before He is I am. He was that, He is that, He'll be that. It means that when compared to God, all of the universe is nothing. Isaiah 40 and 17, all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. Oh, the nations of this world today, God says, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Compare it. Well, we have the greatest military. We have the might of the ages. You know, all of this stuff that we brag and boast about. I appreciate the blessings of God, but God looks at that and says, hey, it doesn't matter at all. It's nothing. Our biggest problem, our greatest fear, our hardest trial, if we compare it to the absoluteness of God, it is nothing. It's nothing. Yeah, Pastor, I've been through some stuff. I know some of you have been through more than I have. I've been through my share, I think, but some of you have been through more than me. But then I read where Paul said, for I reckon. See, Paul's one of us. He used the word reckon. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, Pastor, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna tell how I made it over. No, you ain't. I'm going to tell everything I've been through and how good it is to be here. No, you ain't either. The sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen, you get up there, sir, there won't be no horror stories. No, it's all praising the Lamb. I said it's all praising. Isn't it going to be something to get to heaven and have testimony service and it be nothing like the ones we have down here? Y'all pray for me. The devil's about to kill me. He's riding me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I saved yesterday, but today I don't know. And on it goes. We get to heaven, we're going to worship Him. We're going to praise Him and glorify Him, hallelujah, because He is I am. He's I am. Let me finish this. I'm almost through. See, it means He's constant. There's no development. None. He don't grow. He doesn't improve. No, no. He's not becoming anything. He is. He cannot change. He cannot improve. He cannot worsen. He is, and He exists in total perfection. And you cannot improve on such perfection. What does it mean that He is I am to me? It means that He is the absolute standard of what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. God doesn't need to look up in anybody's book what's right. He is what is right. He doesn't need anybody's almanac to figure out the facts. He ain't worried about no fake news. He is true. There's no group to identify for Him what is good or what is beautiful. He is the standard. He is the standard. It means that He is absolutely what is good, what is true, what is beautiful. And in the final analysis, it means that He is worthy. He is I am. What's that mean to me? Well, it means to me He's worthy. He's worthy of my praise. He is the most valuable, most important person or being in existence today. I'm not more important than he is. What I'm going through is not more important than he is. I can't miss that. It's hard sometimes because we judge everything so much of the time by how it affects us. But we need to look a little higher than that and see, I'm not the main thing here. He is. He is more worthy of my time. Oh, say amen. He is more worthy of my time, of my attention, of my fascination, of my admiration, of my love and my enjoyment than all other so-called realities. He is more worthy. This is the God who stood up for the children of Israel that day. And this is the God that's standing up for you and for me this night. He said, you tell them, I am. I am. And I am for you. Praise his name. I need it. I need it. Sometimes you just need somebody to be for you. You do. You want to talk about somebody being for you tonight. This is God Almighty. This is God. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Can we worship the Lord? I felt his presence in here tonight so wonderfully. Can we praise him, just love him and adore him? Hallelujah. Just thank him. Thank him. You know him. You know he's good. You know he's merciful. You know he's faithful. Let's just love him. Just love him. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Oh, Lord, I worship you tonight. I praise you tonight. Glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, say it with me. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all. Trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Right there where you're standing tonight, just pour your heart out to the Lord. Thank him that he's for us, amen. Thank him that he's gracious to us. Hallelujah. To know he is I am. That's what he says he is to us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are not alone tonight. No, no, no. You are not alone, not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I give you praise. I give you praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Never left us alone. He's never failed us, not even once. Amen, not even once. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight for your grace and for your mercy. We just praise you for meeting with us in this house. We ask you to heal those that are sick. Minister to them. Touch Brother Harvey tonight, Lord. Strengthen his body. I pray you'll heal him. Heal him tonight. For Sister Jessica, we pray, touch this blood pressure. Speak to it tonight, God, this cardiovascular system, and let her blood pressure be normal. We agree together in Jesus' name for this. Let her blood pressure be normal in the name of the Lord. Father, every need that's represented in this place, heal those that are sick. Touch and encourage. Make whole in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here.